What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Three in the Key podcast. It's myself, Rai Chai. It's what the friends call me. Feel free to do the same. Joined by the one and only MD on this glorious day. And it's glorious for one specific reason. Why is that, MD? Tell me why it's glorious.
It's glorious because the Los Angeles Clippers no longer exist. Like, they're just gone from the basketball world. After talking so much trash, having so much confidence, talking trash on the Blazers, everyone else, just thinking they were the it team this year, the team to beat, having Clipper fans. I've never seen Clipper fans brag so much ever than they have this year. And now they're just gone. Banished to the Twilight Zone. Banished to the Dark Zone, you know? Like, I have not been this happy in a very, very long time. Probably since I've been married. Since my wedding day, I have not been this happy and this ecstatic at seeing this Clipper team fail. I'm so happy. You and I were just talking about it. Like, it's so bad that the subreddit of the LA Clippers has turned into a Reddit about the 19th century Clipper boats, like the Clipper ships, what the Clippers were named after. Like, that's how bad it's become. All day today, I was just feasting on all the Instagram posts. Everyone talking so much trash. It was, and honestly, you and I discussed this, and please expand on this point. It's well-deserved, is it not?
Absolutely well-deserved. The Clippers, as you already talked about, talked so much crap during this postseason. I think the image that comes into my mind immediately, which I think comes into everyone else's minds, is when Dame missed that free throw when they were playing each other, and Patrick Beverly and Morris were just keeling over with laughter. And when they sent him home, they were tweeting about it and calling Dame out. And they hadn't accomplished anything at that point. They literally had just made it into the playoffs. And they're talking all this crap. The Clippers hadn't made the Western Conference Finals in over 50 years. And they're walking around as if they are the team to beat. And they haven't done anything yet. And so to see them go out, not just get eliminated in a Game 7, but to get absolutely embarrassed, to see PG hit the freaking backboard from a corner three-pointer where he's wide open. I mean, we're not talking about Rudy Gobert closing out and almost blocking his shot. We're talking about a wide open quarter three-point attempt in Game 7 of the Western Conference semifinals, and this dude hits the backboard. And I am eating up all the memes, all the GIFs, all the little videos that people are making. I am all for the ball game Gatorade commercial videos where it shows PG hitting the backboard. I'm all for it because this guy has done nothing to deserve the credit that he's asking for. Patrick Beverly can go back to Cancun wearing his Timberlands and working out on the beach again and join Dame Dalla and CJ McCollum. And this isn't to talk crap about the Blazers because they didn't have the team that they needed to be able to get as far as they needed to. But the Clippers had everything they needed to be able to make the conference finals and even make the finals if they were able to get past the Lakers, but they couldn't do it. They choked. They choked again. And this is the third time that Doc Rivers has blown a 3-1 lead, if I'm not mistaken.
You're correct. And
it is just completely comical, completely hilarious, and they had it coming. You don't anger the basketball gods by being as prideful as they were before even winning anything. And they angered the basketball gods, and this is what they get. And it is with great joy that we are able to look at Clippers sailboats on the Clippers Reddit page now and see almost nothing about Kawhi or PG. It's mostly Clipper boats and hair clippers and nail clippers now. That's what the Clippers fans had to do to be able to escape the wrath of the wake of their destruction. I am all for it. I am all for it. Let me ask you this. What stood out to you the most from these last few games from the Clippers implosion? Was it the fact that do you think the Clippers were truly that bad? Or do you think the Nuggets are legitimately this good? Because I have some thoughts on it, especially going into this next series for the Lakers. But I'm curious, do you think it was more of the Clippers blowing this 3-1 lead, or the Nuggets were just that good to where they could actually dig themselves out of it?
Before I answer that question, one more note. I just want to shout out, like, Kawhi Leonard and PG. Thank you so much for honoring Kobe last night and scoring 24 points combined. Like, I just love that. And like in their last game of the season, they thought of Kobe and just wanted to honor the Lakers and the real only LA team, you know, LA basketball team, the Lakers. So appreciate that, boys. Great stuff. Move to Seattle. Like, just become the Supersonics. They need a team, and you guys can't be the Clippers anymore. It's so bad.
No. Agreed.
But back to your point about the Clippers losing this game or the Nuggets being that good, I will definitely say, obviously, the easy answer is a combination of both, but I'm going to say Clippers losing this game, losing this series. And the reason I will say that is because they gave the Nuggets opportunities to come back into the 7-game series. It's one thing to lose a 3-1 lead like the Warriors did, like Utah did. They lost the 3-1 series. The other three games that the Nuggets won or LeBron won, they were all close and very good games. Two of the last three that Denver won, they were down by 16 points and 19 points. And they were back-to-back games. Like, that's just, there's no excuse for that. Not making adjustments. I don't know what that is. Like, I don't know if that's Doc not making adjustments. I don't know if that's Clipper arrogance. I don't know if that's, like PG mentioned, not having some kind of synergy or culture, or, you know, like the team is kind of out of whack, which that's such a lame excuse to me. I don't know. I don't know what that is. All I know is it's the Clippers' fault for letting that happen. To be winning by 16 points at the half or in the third quarter and 19 points in the third quarter and then letting that team come back in like a quarter and a half, like, there's no excuse.
No, I completely agree. I think that most of it can be credited to the Clippers just choking, because they had the series. It was done. The Clippers should be playing the Lakers in the conference finals right now. But what the Clippers lack still to this day, even with a stacked roster, is that winning mentality of when you are up, you don't let up. You continue to push. You continue to score. You continue to defend at a high level, no matter what the lead is. And they fell into the trap of, we have the better quote unquote talent on this team. We're just going to coast our way to this victory and close out the series. And, we didn't do it in game 5. We can do it in game 6. You know, that was just an anomaly. Nope. You got to put them away. You got to be a championship team that, you know, presses down on the opponent's throat and actually, you know, finishes the job. But they lack that killer mentality. So most of it, for sure, in my opinion, lies with the Clippers just choking. And credit to the Nuggets, though. That's not to say that they don't deserve to be in the conference finals, because, like, wow, holy crap, they are a great team. And as I was watching game 7, the progression of my emotion went from, I think it was about halfway through the fourth quarter when they really started to avalanche and build that lead, it went from, I'm so happy we're not facing the Clippers, to, oh crap, like, the Nuggets are a really good team, and this is going to be a really good series for the Lakers. This isn't going to be a sweep or anything like that. Like, oh, we didn't get the Clippers, we get to just have an easy series against the Nuggets. Like, no, they're legit. Jokic is a problem. Murray is a problem. And their bench depth is just as good, and they've proved to be better in the series against the Clippers. So all the things that we were kind of, you know, looking forward to seeing how the Lakers would respond against the Clippers are on the table with the Nuggets too, and if not more so. So it was a weird like trajectory of emotions for me. It was like, yes, it's not the Clippers, and I am so glad they are suffering. But it quickly went to, oh shoot, like the Nuggets are good, man. We're gonna have to bring our A game to beat them as well. It's not gonna be this easy walk to the finals.
Yeah, the Joker is amazing. He is so good. Like even in 2K, in 2K. Where you can literally make your player and make yourself whatever you want to be. I don't think I've ever seen a team that plays through their center this much in real life or in created my player, my team. Like, it is amazing how much Jokic touches the ball, how involved he is, and how amazing he is. Like, his triple-double yesterday or last night was ridiculous. 22 rebounds, 13 assists, 16 points. That was crazy. And he's been, him and along with Jamal Murray, are the two stalwarts on this Denver team that is carrying this team. And they have been by far, probably other than LeBron and AD, some of the best players in the playoffs. And other than Jay Butler and Bam. Like, they've been so good. Ridiculously good. Coming back 3-1, like down 3-1 twice, is just it's the first time in NBA playoff history, I believe.
Yep, it is.
That is crazy. That is so crazy. That being said, maybe I have a little bit of like Clipper arrogance is rubbing off on me. I'm not as worried about this matchup with the Lakers. Yes, it should be a good one. I think it'll go 6 games. I don't think it's going to go 7, but I like the Nugget matchup versus the Lakers. It's literally our best defensive player going against their best offensive player, and as good as the Joker is, I definitely believe AD, Dwight, our three-headed monster of AD, Dwight, and JaVale can definitely give him a hard time and make it hard on him.
Yeah, I'm just so happy, man. The Clippers are out. I was done. And it was going to bring me such joy and you much joy for the Lakers to eliminate them. But I think you and I will both agree that it's probably more satisfying see them get humiliated like this to not even make the conference finals again after these lofty expectations of winning a championship. They once again fell short. And they fell short in the most dramatic of fashion.
It was hilarious how many people were talking trash throughout the game, too. Like, I loved, and that's what just, like, reemphasizes how big of a loss this was. Like, you had CJ McCollum, like, tweeting, like, I wonder if they packed before the game. Magic Johnson. I don't see Magic Johnson talk a lot of trash on his Twitter. And he was like, Clippers choked again. Like, this is ridiculous, dude. And I am so happy for it. I know, like, so many other teams are happy. OKC, shout out to all my OKC fans. I know you guys are happy about this, especially with PG losing. I know all my Toronto fans are happy about this, especially since Kawhi was saying like he doesn't believe he can win back-to-back championships with Toronto. I think they would be in the finals if he was still in Toronto.
I was just about to say that. The fact that they pushed Boston 7 games, if you add Kawhi is good enough for 2 games on his own.
Yep. Easy.
So, yeah, he as of right now, he did not make the smart decision.
No.
He might even be regretting it. Who knows?
Oh, he totally is. And then this leads into the discussion about, remember how Kawhi's first choice to play with the two players, they were KD. He tried calling up KD to join him and the Clippers, and Jimmy Butler. And
oh, wow.
Then it was like, who can you bring me, Clippers? And then they reached out and they got Paul George. Which, I mean, glad they got another superstar. But I have a few questions for you that have really like shown through this series. One, do you think the Clippers will ever win a championship with this squad? Two, who do you think is better, Paul George or Jimmy Butler? And there's this huge Reddit thread about this, like early in the year, where everyone was like, Paul George is obviously better, Paul George. And it talks about like how big intangibles play in the game. And then three, do you think Doc Rivers stays coach?
Ooh, okay. All right, I'll go down these three questions one by one. Can the Clippers win a championship as is? No, they cannot. And it's because of Paul George. So that goes into your second question.
I love it.
I legitimately do not believe Paul George can be your second best player on a championship team. He just doesn't have it. And that plays into your second question about who would I rather have between Jay Butt or PG. I'd rather have Jimmy Butler. If you put Jimmy Butler on this Clippers team, they would have closed out the series. Because Jimmy Butler has that edge, the intangibles that you're talking about that were talked on the Reddit thread. 100%. Like, in the regular season, if you're just trying to, you know, care about racking up wins and trying to improve your seeding in the conference, then sure, give me Paul George, because he's gonna have some really good highlights, some amazing games. He's gonna look like he's the better player if you just rely on the eye test. But when you need someone to really buckle down in the playoffs, dial up the intensity, be able to close out the criticism, shut out any sort of negativity, and just play and win, that's Jimmy Butler, and that is not Paul George. It's not. It's just not in him. Can he change? Probably not. And he's had a lot of time to show us if he could do that or not. And so far, he hasn't. And he was literally put on a team with one of the top five players in the league, in Kawhi Leonard, and he still couldn't make it happen. And that says a lot about Paul George and whether or not he can win a championship as a second best player. Because he had excuses when he was with OKC. It's like, okay, Russell Westbrook, you know, he's, for as good as he is in the regular season himself, like, he's not someone that you would expect to be the number one player and win a title. So, okay, fine. But you put Kawhi Leonard on the team and you still can't make it to the conference finals, let alone we're not even talking about winning a championship. Couldn't even make it to the conference finals. And that's all on PG, in my opinion. And then for Doc, I mean, you're not going to get a better coach than Doc, in my opinion. So I wouldn't expect them to blow up their coaching staff and get rid of him. I think there's definitely responsibility that lies with him for this team not being able to close out the series. But I know he's still a good coach, and so he definitely shares responsibility, but the number one reason the Clippers lost this series is because of Paul George. And just replay the ball going off the backboard. Like, that sums it up. I mean, that's mental. You're wide open in the corner in game seven, and you don't even hit the rim. You don't even airball it. It was so far off, it hit the backboard. And that's a mentality thing. And so they're not going to win constructed as is. They need another piece, or they need Paul George to have some sort of revelation where he's able to shut out the noise and be able to perform when the lights are bright. Because right now he plays, I don't even know. I'm just, he's not a star player in the playoffs. Playoff P is real, man. It is so real. So there you go. There you have it. That's my analysis of the situation.
One final question for you. I pretty much agree with everything you're saying. I do put a little bit of blame on Kawhi as well still. But what to you, like, you know how everyone was saying, like, the talk about Kawhi being better than LeBron and him being like one of the top players in the league, if not the top player. I think that kind of puts this all to rest. Do you agree with that? Like, there's no way Kawhi can be like the best player in the league and then let this happen. There's just no way in my book, you know? There's no way a Giannis, there's no way a LeBron, there's no way a KD, there's no way a Steph Curry, there's no way, you know, some of these like amazing players. I don't even think there's any way like a Kyrie, and that's not talking much. I don't even really like Kyrie that much. There's no way like a Damian Lillard lets his team lose from 16 and 19 points back to back to close out a series. That's ridiculous to me. That is embarrassing. That's just like, you need to like go back and get into the gym right now. This is crazy.
Yeah, and I agree. I think it absolutely puts that conversation to rest. When you're comparing Kawhi and LeBron, Kawhi can affect the game in probably more ways than LeBron can because of his defense. But Kawhi lacks the vocal leadership that you need to be able to inspire your team to really dig deep when you need it the most. He's a guy that leads by example and expects other people to follow suit, because he's trying hard, he's diving on the floor, he's not giving up, and for the most part, he's very, very consistent in his game. But when you're not an outspoken leader, there are certain personalities on a team that just aren't going to fall in line just because you're doing it. Like, in theory, that's how a team should work. Like, oh, you follow the leader. Like, he's working hard, I'm going to work hard. Okay, great. But you think about Kobe. And yeah, he worked his butt off his whole career, and that inspired a lot of his teammates to work their butt off too and reach another level of excellence. But he also called them out. He also would tell them when they weren't putting in effort. And Kawhi won't do that. He's just going to be quiet. And when the other team is making a run and, you know, Doc calls a timeout, instead of him getting in the ear of the players that are blowing defensive assignments, he's, you know, just kind of walking back, whatever. Sure, maybe every once in a while he says something, but you need to have that outspoken leadership if you're going to be in that top tier of players who can carry a team and win a championship consistently. And sure, he's won in San Antonio and he's won in Toronto, yes. But he had players on his team that they fell in line a lot easier. Yep. You know,
intangibles of vocal leadership.
Exactly. I mean, you think about Kyle Lowry.
Mm-hmm.
He is that guy. You think about on the Spurs. I can't even remember who was on that roster, to be honest.
Pop.
There you go. But on this team, you needed someone to be that. It's not going to be Patrick Beverley. Like, yeah, he's the loudest guy on the court, but okay. Even his own teammates are annoyed at him most of the time. It's not going to be PG, because most of the players are probably annoyed that he's so inconsistent. You need it to come from your best player, and or from a player that's consistent. And Lowry was able to do it in Toronto. To assume that role for Kawhi, but when he doesn't have someone to be that for him, who's as respected as someone like a Lowry, then you're going to see things like this, where they're just inexcusable collapses. The 3-1 lead, being up 16 and 19, and then you just absolutely get spanked in game seven. Like, that's, game sevens are meant to be close. You know, it's a competitive series. Both teams put it out on the line. It's usually ugly, low scoring. They were letting the Nuggets get whatever they wanted at the end of that game, and they got blown out. That's embarrassing. So, yes, that's the long-winded answer of no, you can't compare LeBron with Kawhi right now, because sure, Kawhi can affect the game a lot, but if you want to have someone who is a true, genuine leader, I mean, give me LeBron all day on my team over Kawhi, even at the advanced age that LeBron is. Give me LeBron over Kawhi for sure.
Love it. I 100,000% agree with everything that you just mentioned. That Clipper team, everyone's asking what that team's missing, and I think you hit the nail on the head. They're missing a leader, a true leader, like a leader from the players, that someone that's going to get in everyone else's ear to play better, someone that's going to be that guy and that vocal leader on the team. And it doesn't have to be the best player. And we've seen that in the Spurs. We've seen that in other teams where the best player isn't necessarily the most vocal, but it needs to be someone with that intangible, someone that has the respect of the other players, that will listen to the other player, that the other players will listen to on that team, and that can affect their game with how he speaks to them, how he encourages them, how he gets into them, how he tears them down, how he builds them up, and how he wants them to improve. And I don't know where you find that. I don't know if the Clippers can find that, but I just don't think they're going to find that. I don't think this team is going to find that.
No, it's a problem. They're going to have to address it, but they gave up a crap ton to get PG, and Steve Ballmer would be pulling out his hair if he had any left. If just that realization, you mortgaged your whole future for this mm-hmm. team. And they couldn't even make the conference finals. And you're left with pretty much the same pieces unless you're willing to trade, and you're going to have to run it back. But, oh man, that's a tough, tough position. So I'm not envious of those who are Clipper fans, because that's a tough spot to be in. Anyways, that's enough about the Clippers, but it was very enjoyable to be able to talk about them and appreciate the demise that took place while we stare at Clipper sailboats on their former Reddit page. So let's take a quick break here. When we come back, let's start talking Lakers ball, looking at the series ahead. All right, we are back. So MD, enough about the Clips. Let's talk about the Lake Show, because we're in the Western Conference Finals, my friend. This is it, man. We are one of the last two teams standing in the loaded Western Conference. Lakers Nuggets. First time in the Western Conference Finals since 2009. And who was our opponent? The Nuggets. Kobe versus Melo. So what are your first initial thoughts on this matchup, man? Or I guess maybe even just your first initial emotions, knowing that we are in the Conference Finals. What's on your mind?
A quick note about what you just mentioned as well. Last time we faced the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals, Kobe was also going for his fourth ring. And Mr. LeBron James, Mr. King James, is going for his fourth ring as well. So I'm hoping just the stars align, and it looks like they are, and the Lakers get another championship. I think number 17 to tie the Celtics for all time.
Yep.
I can't even put into words how excited I am for this team. Just kind of looking back at the matchups and looking back at how the Lakers and Nuggets played each other this past season, the Lakers actually won the series. They have won 3-1 against the Nuggets. And then before even COVID hit, the Lakers had the series, they were up in the series 2-1, and then they beat them once on August 10th in the bubble. So all that to say, though, that the Nuggets aren't the same team that we played last month. They're definitely a different team. They believe they have like that manifest destiny attitude where they've won. You know, they come back from down 3-1 twice. So they're dangerous. They're a dangerous team. Jokic is playing lights out. Jamal Murray is playing lights out. They're getting help, like we mentioned, from all of those other guys. Millsap, Torrey Craig, Monte Morris, and MPJ. And they're a scary team. On a side note, though, do you know whatever happened to Ball Ball?
That's a good question. He's still in the Nuggets, right?
Yeah. He might have gotten injured, maybe. I think that would be the best description.
I stopped hearing. Because I remember in the bubble, he was having like some really good performances during the seeding games. But then after that, in the playoffs, I feel like he's just gone non-existent.
Right.
Maybe it's just Coach Malone deciding not to play him.
I know. That's what I'm curious about as well, to see if it's because he's not playing well, or I don't even see him on the roster. So did he get injured?
Maybe. Dude, arms, we gotta look into that.
I'm looking into it right now.
It's gotta be some sort of article coming up. I'm gonna search right now too. Good old Bol Bol. 7-2. Holy moly.
I think
he played no minutes. It's funny like Googling someone, because you always see like those related searches and they're just so random and extreme. Like I just searched Bol Bol and then the related searches are, how did Manute Bol die? Will Bol Bol be good? Is Manute Bol dead?
Oh my goodness.
Just trying to find out if he's on the roster. Not about how his dad died or if he died.
So he came back from an injury.
Mm-hmm.
When he was injured like early last year. So I don't know, maybe they have him on like a minutes restriction or something, or why he won't be playing unless they make it to the finals or something. But to think, like what you mentioned, all this to tie into how much depth the Nuggets have, it's scary. And I think, like you mentioned before, and we keep mentioning, that is where the Nuggets can kind of make up ground. They don't obviously have as much star power as we do, but they can make up ground and they can definitely outplay our bench, and that will definitely put us in trouble.
Yep, agreed. You know who else is on their bench? Troy Daniels.
Oh my goodness, we traded Troy Daniels to them?
Yeah, he's gone now, man. He's on the Nuggets. He doesn't play like hardly ever, but I was just looking at their roster right now. I was like, oh, shoot, he is on the Nuggets. And what's funny is his bio picture on NBA.com is still with him with the Lakers uniform.
That's hilarious. Oh,
I know. That is crazy. But yeah, they are deep.
And you know they're missing Will Barton, too.
Oh, wow.
This is a scary team. This will be a team to watch next season.
That is crazy. Wow, Troy Daniels is only 2 months older than me.
Wow, what are you doing with your life?
What am I doing? I'm just in a dark bedroom right now talking about NBA players and trying to find out how Manute Bol died. Okay, you know how you brought up the similarities between LeBron and Kobe in 09?
Mm-hmm.
So one of my good friends from high school, shout out James, he tweeted this or posted on Instagram this like little image comparing Kobe and LeBron. It says, Kobe in 09 says Lakers finished first in the West. With Bron this year, Lakers finished first in the West. They beat the Rockets in the second round, both of those seasons in 09 and this year. And they're going to be playing the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. And Kobe that year won his fourth title in Orlando against the Magic that year. And this year, Bron could potentially win his fourth title in Orlando in the bubble. How crazy is that?
I'm telling you, man. Stars are aligning for the Lakers to win the championship.
They really are. It's so weird seeing pictures of Kobe and Melo playing each other in the playoffs. Like, it seems like a lifetime ago, man.
I know. Did this squad also had Kenyon Martin, didn't it? Marcus Camby and AI.
AI, yep. They were a good team, man. They even had like Chauncey Billups, I think.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Dude, that team is like a created team in 2K. I know. That's a squad, dude.
Yep. I think that series went 6, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think it went, or did it go 7?
I do remember it being the better series than the finals, though.
Yeah, for sure. That was the year that we should have, or maybe not should have. That was the opportunity where we could have gotten the Kobe and LeBron finals. And it didn't happen because Orlando beat Cleveland. But what could have been? That's like one of the ultimate what ifs, like seeing Kobe and LeBron play each other in the finals.
This was like during the whole puppet thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, Nike and the NBA were hyping that up. They wanted that matchup so bad.
I remember rightfully that. So. Yeah. You know who else was on the Nuggets team? J.R. Smith.
Oh, wow.
And like one of the most hated players of all time, I think, as a Lakers fan, Donte Jones. Remember he injured Kobe?
Yep.
Man, we were
Donte Jones.
Those were the times, man. We're old, bro.
We are, man. 09? That's already 11 years ago. There are 10-year-olds walking this earth who are in like fourth grade who have no idea who these people are.
Yeah, that's
how
bad.
Weird is that?
That's really bad.
So weird. What do you think is the most important key for the Lakers in this series if they're going to win it?
For me, the biggest key in this series is going to be Anthony Davis. And it's such like, I know it almost seems like a cop-out, but anytime the Lakers have lost, you look at, literally, I always look at Anthony Davis's numbers because he is such a key to our team. Like how, to me, he's a direct correlation. He's like the simile, the metaphor of how the Lakers are playing. If he's having a good game, the Lakers are going to win. Having not a good game or he's struggling somewhere, the Lakers most likely aren't going to win. He impacts the game so much on both ends of the floor that it's going to be Anthony Davis and his defense on Jokic. That is what I'm going to be keeping an eye out and watching this during the series.
Yep. And that's one of those things too, where if you look back on the Clippers series, the Clippers rarely got consistent production out of both Kawhi and PG. And the series went 7. And now the Nuggets are going into a series with two stars who are consistent in LeBron and AD. And not only that, but AD is a huge mismatch like he is on in any series. But the Nuggets are going to have their work cut out for them because they're going to have to slow down at least one of them consistently in the series enough to give them a chance to extend the series and potentially pull it out. But the Clippers didn't have that consistent production from both of their stars. And I think this is where the star power of the Lakers is going to be so valuable because our stars are consistent, you know? It's going to make a big difference. So I agree with you with saying AD is the key. I will say also, I'll add, it's going to be very, very important for Vogel to figure out a manageable game plan for guarding Jokic. For as much as can possibly be done, because you're not going to completely shut him down and he's not going to have zero impact on the game, but you can't have him be the best player on the court. Like in game 7 with the Nuggets and Clippers, Jokic was the best player in that game and he only scored like 16 points. But it's because he is able to get the ball anywhere on the court at any given time and still command so much attention because of the fact that he can score the ball. He's that good. And you can't, for the Lakers to win the series, Vogel's going to have to get creative with taking away some of those options from him. And so I don't know if it's starting to unleash Dwight and JaVale a little bit more, because if you noticed in the last series, both of those guys barely played. I think, I don't even know if Dwight checked into any of the games in that series. But as the series went on against Houston, JaVale's minutes went down also. And I think there was even a game where he didn't even start, like he usually does. Morris was starting.
The last two games, I believe Morris started because we had to transform into a small ball lineup.
Exactly. So I think Vogel might start to take advantage of the size that we have. But yeah, that's going to be my key. How does Vogel respond to putting a game plan together? Because Jokic he's so good, and it's not just because of his scoring. Like, he gets everyone involved. And it's kind of like the whole, like, in order to kill a snake, you know, you attack it at the head. You kill the head, and the rest of the body will die. Jokic is the head. Yeah, Murray puts up crazy numbers. But like I said, for last night's game, Murray put up like 40. But Jokic was the most important player in that game and the reason why they ended up winning it, because he can find other guys to get going also. So we'll see if our boy Frank, good old Frank, can put together a good game plan.
I believe in you, Frank.
I believe in him too. I mean, he already has incredible barbecue skills and lawn care skills. It's nothing that can't translate to shutting down Jokic. All right, so that's the key for the series for us. Is there anyone on the Lakers roster who is going to be like an X factor for you in this series? That's not, you know, one of the main stars.
Caruso will be an X factor because of how well he can defend Jamal Murray. I love that Vogel Caruso has become our new Avery Bradley, our new go-to guy for guarding the other team's best player. And I'm excited to see that matchup. He did a decent job against Harden. He bothered him enough, made it difficult, at least. And I love what you said, managed Harden, helped manage Harden. And I definitely think Caruso, his defense, the way he plays, will definitely be needed to help manage Jamal Murray, the other superstar on the Denver Nuggets.
Yep. He's going to be a key piece. He always is. He is the Energizer Bunny for us, man. He maintains his position when he's on defense. In the series against Houston, he was taking some body shots from Westbrook, but he stays in front of him, and he bothers his shot. So that would be huge if you could slow down Murray, for sure. For me, it's going to be, I'm probably going to go with Rondo again. I think I said that last series. And it's not going to be for him to really carry us or anything like that, but just to be serviceable. Like, in those minutes where we need him on the court, because Caruso's off the court or someone else is resting, he can't be a liability where he's just getting eaten alive by Murray or whatever other role player that he's defending on the Nuggets. So if he can continue to perform at an above average level and be playoff Rondo, the inverse or the reverse of playoff Rondo is also real, and we saw it in the Houston series. So if that can continue, I think that bodes really, really well for the Lakers, because again, it's not just the offense with Rondo. It's not just the scoring for Rondo, but he controls the whole offense. So if that second unit is in with him, is performing well, I think a lot of it is going to be because of Rondo. So I want to see him continue to do well and have a good role in this series also. All right, so let's go to predictions, man. Let's get straight to it. The good stuff, what the good people have been waiting for. Who's winning this series and in how many games?
You know, earlier I said Lakers in six. I'm going to change that, and I'm going to say another gentleman sweep, Lakers in five.
Whoa. You're optimistic. every prediction, and you're never that far off. I think in the Houston series, you predicted a sweep, and it ended up being a five-game series. And the series before that, I think you were spot on also. I'm going to say Lakers in six. And I think game one, we're going to lose. I think the Nuggets are going to be riding high off of this victory against the Clippers. And the momentum is going to spill over into this series. And we're going to fall into a hole again. And because the Nuggets are significantly better than the Rockets, I wouldn't anticipate the Lakers to win four straight after that. I think we would drop one more. But I ultimately have the Lakers winning in six. So put it down. Lakers go into the finals, according to you and I, and matching up against either the Heat or the Celtics. Either a Lakers-Celtics matchup or LeBron versus old team matchup, either of which would be awesome. So we'll see. Any closing remarks, sir, before we wrap up this episode?
Go Heat.
Go J-Butt.
Yeah, let's go J-Butt. It was a great night last night. Not only, and we forgot to mention this, not only because the Clippers lost, but so did the Celtics. Whenever the Celtics lose, it's a great night for Laker fans as well.
No kidding. Just a great day for Los Angeles fans all around.
Hear, hear.
Yes, sir. Well, let's get back to scrolling through the official Clippers Reddit page. Check a look at those beautiful ships and get ready for this upcoming series. So until next time, go Lakers.
Go Lakers.